Good evening. It's good to see all of you. I'm not Brandon Baxter. We miss Brandon, but he is doing good things and doing well. Had a good first week at East End. We keep him in our prayers. But I am with you this evening, and for the next, from now until these Wednesday night suppers end on December 7th, we will have sort of a rotating group of folks leading. Welcome to those of you who are joining us online. We feel you with us in the space. For the next few weeks, from now up until Thanksgiving, our theme is going to be healing. And so we will spend the next few weeks exploring scriptures together and taking a breath in the middle of the week to remember that God is the great physician and the great healer of our spirits, our bodies, and souls. We'll take a break the week of Thanksgiving, and then gather a couple of more times on the 30th and the 7th, and we'll have an Advent theme for those 2 weeks. So we are glad that you're with us, and I pray that this, the times that I've been able to come to this service have been a tremendous gift to me. I just feel like I can breathe and that there's space for contemplation and prayer. So I hope that that is what you experience tonight as we spend some time together. Our opening hymn is There is a Balm in Gilead, and so I invite you to stand as you're able if you would like to, and join with us in singing this song.
There is a balm in Gilead.
God, each day you offer us a balm. Your spirit is a healing spirit, an enlivening spirit, an encouraging spirit, an emboldening spirit. Each of us comes this night to this time of worship with different needs. Some of us are grieving. Some of us are anxious. Some of us have gotten here through terrible traffic and are carrying that stress with us and the worry about what caused the traffic in the first place. Some of us are tired, longing for rest. Some of us are grateful and joyful, at peace, and all of us are gathered, seeking your presence, grateful to be joined together. And so we open ourselves as best we can in these next moments of worship to receive your healing balm, to receive your spirit once again, and to find healing where it is needed in our lives and in our world. We pray this in the name of Christ the healer, who loves us and receives us as we are. Amen. Let us remain standing and join in the gathering prayer together. No one is far from you, O God. We come together in joy, mindful of the burdens we carry, the hurts and sorrows we have. We come together in gladness, never forgetting God's love. We come together with praise for each other and those who are with us on the journey. No one is far from you, O God. Tune our hearts so that we may know your love, peace, and healing. Amen. You may be seated. So tonight, I wanted to spend some time together around a story in the book of 1 Kings about the prophet Elijah. As we were talking about this theme of healing, I thought about the healing that is needed in all of our lives. After these few years we've been through together with the pandemic and all that has come with it, there are times when, because of situations beyond our control, we get burned out, we get tired, we get anxious. And in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, the prophet Elijah is in a bad spot. He is scared. He's burned out. He's running for his life. He's giving up. He's exhausted. And he's grieving. And he goes on this journey. And I want to read this whole passage to you from chapter 19, share a few thoughts about it, and then I want to walk through it slowly in a sort of guided meditation to invite you to hear your own story in the story of Elijah, and hopefully to meet the God who comes to Elijah as you walk through the text as well. A little bit of context. Elijah was a prophet while Ahab was king, and Ahab was married to Jezebel, and those are not popular names for children now. There's a reason. They weren't great rulers, and they had begun to worship other gods, and Elijah had just had a showdown with the priests of Baal, and Elijah had bested them and killed them all, and now Ahab and Jezebel, especially Jezebel, are gunning for him, and they want to kill him. So that's where the story starts. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. he got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went on in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. You shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abimaholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he set out from there and found Elisha. So if we track Elijah's lines, for lack of a better word, in this story, and his interactions with God, the first thing he says is basically, "Kill me now. I can't take it anymore. Things are so bad, they're never going to get better. I'm tired of it all. And then he falls asleep. And when he wakes up, there is food and water. There's rest for his body. There's a little food, a little water. And he falls asleep again. And God lets him rest and feeds him again the food and water. And then he goes deeper into the cave, and God meets him there. There's all of the wind and fire and all of that, but it's in the silence that Elijah experiences God. And twice God asks Elijah, "What are you doing here?" I don't know what that question might mean for Elijah or what it might mean for you, but how did you get to this place? And both times Elijah says the exact same thing. He tells himself this narrative, like, "I'm all by myself, nobody loves me, everybody's after me, everybody else has forsaken you." And then God says, it's time to go back. And by the way, there were 7,000 who didn't forsake me. And you're not going back alone. I'm going to give you a friend, Elisha, to do this work with you. So with all of that in mind, if you will, allow me to take us on a little journey of the imagination with this text. Not quite a practice of Lectio Divina, but more of a practice of sacred imagination, which comes from St. Ignatius of Loyola, very ancient practice. So I invite you to close your eyes if you'd like. Get in a comfortable seated position, feet on the floor. And place yourself in Elijah's role. You've had a great victory for God, but it's caused some people to be angry with you. People are threatening your life. Feels like they're after you. And you're afraid. And you flee. Is there something in your life that you feel like you want to run from? Or maybe something you're afraid of? So then you come and you find a solitary broom tree. And you sit under it. And just as Elijah did, you name out loud, in this case, name in your own heart what you really want to say, what you're really feeling. For Elijah, it was, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. What is it that you need to say to God underneath the broom tree? Just as Elijah then drifted off to sleep, allow yourself to rest for a moment. As thoughts cross your mind, release them and trust that you'll catch up with them later. Imagine now that you're being awakened by a messenger of God. And that there is prepared for you a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of fresh water. Good things to take care of your body. Receive the good attention, the good gifts. The small gifts that God offers to you every day. Take a moment to give thanks for some of those gifts. So with Elijah, you get up and you begin a journey deeper into the wilderness. God has told you to stand on the mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by. How do you prepare yourself to receive the Lord? To hear from the Lord. At first come the wind and the earthquake and the noise and the clatter and the fire. What is it that makes a lot of noise and clatter in your own life, in your mind and your heart? And all of that ceases, and there's nothing but silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. How do you respond to the presence of God in the silence? Then the voice came that said, "What are you doing here?" Imagine God asking you that question. What are you doing here? Spoken in a tone of love, how do you answer that question? The Lord then said to Elijah, it was time to go back, time to return. I don't know if Elijah was ready to go back. Where is God calling you to go, to serve, to be? And how do you feel about going there? And as God sends Elijah on his way, he reminds him that he's not alone. There are 7,000 others who did not bow down to Baal, and God provides a new companion, Elisha. Take a moment to think about the companions God has provided for you on the journey and to give thanks for them. So Elijah and Elisha set out. I'm going to give you some time if you'd like to come to the prayer stations and reflect on what you've experienced in this story of Elijah. You might want to draw a picture or meditate at the candlelight or make yourself comfortable on one of the yoga mats there and just allow yourself to inhabit this story and to receive whatever gifts it might have had for you tonight. We'll give you some time to do that before we close. Thank you. Our closing hymn, Healer of Our Every Ill, Every Kind of Ill. God is our healer. God of healing continue to give each of us what we need, whether it's a solitary place to speak our hearts and be heard, a little bit of cake, a little bit of water, some good rest, some silence. or a tough question, why are you here? May we receive all of these good gifts and be healed. Amen.